This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. I'm Caleb Brown. The tech company Clearview might pave the way to ending your ability to walk down the street essentially anonymous. What does that mean for law enforcement and for people who want to be anonymous walking down the street? Cato's Matthew Feeney comments.
Clearview AI is a company that's developed an app that engages in facial recognition. And what I think makes it stand out and why it made so much news in the last couple of months is that it scrapes images that are publicly available off social media sites such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And this, I think, is notable for a few reasons. One is, I think that when many people think of law enforcement use of facial recognition, they think of people who are in government databases like mugshot databases. What's interesting about Clearview is that it allows users to search for a face and compare that face against billions of images of people who have just chosen to take part in the social media ecosystem. And that's, I think, going to concern many people who have social media accounts, knowing that police who are users of Clearview can do this. It's also of concern to people who aren't even on social media. The technology that Clearview is using scrapes the data of people that appear in photos, whether or not they have a Instagram or Facebook account, for example. So if you took a photo of me, Caleb, and uploaded it to your Instagram account, it wouldn't matter if I had an Instagram account or not. My image would still be among those scraped. And this caused a lot of controversy when the New York Times reported about the company a few months ago. But I think concern has just been compounded because the list of Clearview clients leaked, and among the clients are law enforcement agencies, but also some private companies such as Macy's.
All right. So in terms of the value proposition for people who might like to make use of Clearview, aside from individuals using an app and saying, well, isn't that interesting? This picture pulled up this other picture of me that I didn't even know existed. For the value proposition for somebody that would like to use it that isn't in law enforcement, what is it?
I don't think it was a surprise to many people to see that law enforcement agencies were among Clearview's clients. But what is interesting is that you've seen in the list that there have been private companies that have also used the technology to conduct searches. So, for example, you have Rite Aid, Macy's, Best Buy, and Walmart. These are companies that have used Clearview. Now, it's not clear exactly why they're using it, but you can imagine that they might be interested in using this for helping regular company customers enjoy benefits, or maybe trying to engage in a little bit of investigation themselves to try and give police leads for shoplifters. But we're not exactly sure. But it is worth noting that, of course, facial recognition is not just a law enforcement tool. There are potential applications in the private sector. I think what's concerning to a lot of people is that this kind of news reveals again that the technology is outpacing the law, and that in many cases you have companies and law enforcement agencies using the technology without the oversight I think many people would like to see.
With respect to police, it's interesting because if they know about a crime and they have a photograph of a suspect, technology like this could be pretty useful. So what are the downside risks?
It absolutely could. So I take a look at facial recognition the way that I think people should take a look at all technologies, which is that there are potential good applications and bad applications. It's, of course, like you said, possible for police to use this to catch the bad guys. If you have someone who is on security footage robbing a bank or committing another crime, it's not hard to see why this kind of technology would be useful to identify suspects. But we should also keep in mind the potential for abuse. What we've seen in the history of law enforcement is that surveillance technology tends to be overused, particularly on minority communities. And this is something we should expect with facial recognition. And indeed, it is the case that facial recognition algorithms are sometimes not very good at identifying people equally of different racial backgrounds. And we should also keep in mind that some police in the past have had a history of using surveillance tools to harass people, to identify law-abiding citizens. And facial recognition can certainly be used for that, which is why I think when we're thinking about facial recognition in the law enforcement context, we shouldn't necessarily embrace a total ban. We should embrace an approach that ensures that the databases that police use only include people wanted for violent crimes, that there are regular audits of the system, that the public are informed that this is what's going on. I think, unfortunately, for many people in the country, it will become news to them that their police department was using this kind of technology, and I think that's very regrettable.
So in terms of a framework that you recommend, and I know ideas differ about this, what do you suspect ought to be the hard and fast rules with respect to police using facial recognition other than the ones that you just laid out?
In May last year, I wrote a blog post for Cato where I outlined a few ideas. In addition to ones that I just mentioned, I think what's important is that we should have what I called a public hearing requirement, which is that law enforcement shouldn't be allowed to use facial recognition or other surveillance technology without first having come to the local community and explained what the technology is, how it works, and what kind of safeguards they plan to implement. This is not a concern, I think, reserved to facial recognition. I think you and I have talked before about how police in Baltimore were taking advantage of military-grade aerial surveillance technology without Baltimore residents and indeed some public officials even knowing that this was going on. I think transparency is really important, but as I also mentioned briefly just before, I think we should ensure that in the law enforcement context, the databases or the category of images that police can search are narrow. What's particularly concerning about Clearview is that this is billions of images of law-abiding residents and citizens. You can imagine a situation, I think, where if police only had access to images of people wanted for violent crimes, that some worries associated with facial recognition would be minimized. I should add that I also would like to see policies in place that would prohibit so-called real-time facial recognition. I think that we don't want to live in a potential world where police with smart glasses or body cameras are able to identify people at whim. I think facial recognition is best used as a investigation technique, not one that's used in real time.
Assuming the police can be significantly restricted from making use of these kinds of tools in an official investigative capacity, there's nothing preventing essentially any private citizen from making use of that technology for their own benefit, for good or ill, to the people who are affected by it.
That's right, especially the comparatively wealthy. If you think for only a few minutes, it's not hard to come up with scenarios that are a little concerning. If you had a company like Clearview or Clearview itself, and it was offering its services for a certain fee, someone who was a little creepy could certainly use the technology to identify people at public spaces like restaurants or bars and find out more about people. And that's a worry. But I think an increasingly common part of the future we're going to be living in soon will include people behaving this way, unfortunately. There will be many people who, thanks to facial recognition, will think that they should be able to identify people out about in public. And I think as a society, we're going to have to figure out ways to mitigate the risks of that. Certainly, I worry about a world where people have to abandon their privacy out in public as the price they pay for engaging in social media and sharing images with people around the world. I think that would be regrettable.
Matthew Feeney directs Cato's Project on Emerging Technologies. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please, and follow us on Twitter at Cato Podcast.